Hey guys, another installment of the SkilledTradeRescue.com podcast. This is a special series we're doing on skilled trades where I find real people working in skilled trades around America, and I'm going to share their stories with all of you. And I'm hoping the whole goal of the series is to do some takeaways, some things that little nuggets of wisdom or information that these technicians can share with all of you that you'll be able to apply to your professional life and in some cases personal life. So today I have Chris Lavasco. Hopefully I got that right. And he's joining me from Southern Cal, somewhere down there.
Yeah.
Awesome. Well, thanks for joining us today. And why don't you give just a quick bio on what you're doing in skilled trades these days, Chris?
Right now I'm doing commercial heating and air conditioning. I work for a union shop, a small union shop. We work on pretty much everything. Chillers, boilers, pumps, you name it, we'll work on it in the industry.
How long have you been in the trades now, Chris?
About 13 years.
Okay. Yep. What'd you do before that? What was your journey into skilled trades?
I was actually in the military.
Okay.
I was in the Army, and I got injured in Iraq, and I had a few surgeries, and they bandaged me back up, went to Germany, ended up going to Afghanistan. When I was out there, the hardware that they put in my foot came back through my foot, so they had to medevac me back out, do some more surgeries, and they put me out. So when they put me out, I was going to do that for the rest of my life. I had no clue what I was going to do. And my brother, who's an electrician, said if I knew what I knew now, I would do HVAC. So I had no clue what anything was. You know, I didn't even know what a transformer was at the time.
Mm-hmm.
Went to trade school, and, you know, the military paid for it, you know. And so I went to school for HVAC. Then I went to trade school for plumbing. And then I went to trade school for electrical so I could get it all, because HVAC touches a little bit of everything.
Yeah. Hey, man, thank you for your service and your sacrifices you've made, man.
Oh, I appreciate it.
Yeah, people like you, I think it's under-recognized, you know, on the big holidays and stuff. Everybody talks about it, but we should be talking about it every day. So thanks for your sacrifice, man.
I appreciate that.
Yeah. So this is an interesting story because I think I've interviewed probably, I don't know, three or four retired military folks from all different branches. And I just find it intriguing that, you know, when you get out of the military, you have the GI Bill, which you could apply to a lot of different types of education, correct?
Correct.
Yeah. And it's real interesting. There's two things that I've noticed about military folks. One is they're willing to talk and share about their experience, where, you know, a lot of technicians don't. And the second thing I found intriguing is that ex-military folks, they have choices when they get out, and a good percentage of them are choosing the trades over going into a four-year college.
Yeah, well, I mean, there's a reason a lot of us go in the military to begin with. You know, for me, it was, you know, I was done with school, you know, and that was seemed like a good path at the time, you know, so. But I mean, it's good to, you know, put your story out there and be able to, you know, hopefully help someone else along the way.
Yeah. So what's a typical day in the life for you? So you get up and you, let's share some stuff with the guys and gals out there that are maybe thinking about skilled trades versus, you know, going to college. What's a typical day in the life for Chris? On a work day,
I'm usually up by 3:30. I like working early, so they allow me to. That's why I like really like this company. Most of the places we work, they allow us to start pretty much whenever we want. So, I'm usually on the road by 4. I'm usually on site by 5 a.m. I'll start my day depending on what I'm doing. Today, I'm changing out like a bunch of valves, bunch of things on the water side of a. Air-cooled unit with humidity. It's got humidity capabilities on it.
Mm-hmm.
So it's got a water side. So we had to change the pump and stuff like that. And then Yeah, usually, you know, take my lunch about 10 o'clock, 10:30, and after that, you know, maybe get pulled off for a service call or two, and then I get off of work about 1:30-ish, go pick up my son at school. It's the reason why I start so early. I'm the one who's got to pick up my son at school. So.
Yeah. Yeah, not everybody starts, just to let you guys know, not everybody starts their day at 4.
No, most guys start at like 7 or 8, you know, most guys. But we, like I said, we take care of, like here at Coca-Cola, you know, they have security 24/7. We take care of a lot of different hotels where they have people there 24/7.
Yeah.
We take care of the Honda Center. We take care of all their chillers that freeze the ice, all the rinks that the ducks own. We take care of all that. So we have, you know, we have access, you know, 24/7. So this company and then this company's great. They've like really worked with me as far as my schedule goes and picking up my kids, you know, and a lot of, if you're good at what you do, a lot of companies will work with you. So.
Yeah. Now, are you guys, how big is your shop? How many trucks you guys running?
So we have 5 journeymen and 4 apprentices. So we're really small.
You know what? That's what's interesting. This is an interesting subject because I have technicians asking me, you know, should I go to work for a big shop? Should I go to work for a smaller shop? Should I go union, non-union? Are you guys union?
Yeah. So this is actually my first union job.
Okay.
But I've loved it so far, you know, but I haven't really done much with the union. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
I kind of like, you know, did what I had to do, got in the union and pay my dues every month.
It's real interesting because my preference, because I was on both sides of it. I worked as a technician and then I worked as a business. I owned a business. And I think as a technician, especially when you're getting started, I think you're better off working for a smaller shop because that the pond is smaller, right? So if you're a superstar, you're going to show up on the people that matters radar quicker than you would if you're working for a shop that's got hundreds and hundreds of technicians out there. It's harder to pick out the superstars out of that big pond, right? Hey guys, quick announcement. If you have not stopped into our website at skilltraderescue.com, please do that. On the home page here, you will see that we have the Join the Movement email list. If you haven't signed up, please consider doing that. We have some amazing guests lined up for the podcast. I'm going to be getting the stories out of successful technicians and business owners in skilled trades. These are not just HVAC people. These are going to be from across the skilled trade spectrum. And my hope is that I'm going to be able to draw out of these people the things that have worked in their careers amazingly well, and the things that if they had a chance to talk to their younger self, what they would tell them not to do. So I want to share all that stuff with you. And if you sign up, you're going to be the first to know when we drop those new podcast episodes. Also, coming soon, we have the BEST workshop. It's a 5-day automated email workshop. However, you're going to give content to us through that workshop. You're going to get one-on-one feedback from our instructors, and we're looking to better your career. I've been teaching the BEST process for many, many years, about 2 decades one-on-one, and I'm going to be trying to do that to the masses through this workshop. It's totally free. All you got to do is sign up, and as soon as you do that, you'll get alerts on your email as soon as these new podcasts come in, as well as the BEST workshop. So if you check it out, I will put a link to the website on the show notes for this episode today. So check it out.
It all depends how good you are.
Yeah, that's true. Yeah.
Yeah. But no, I totally agree with you. A small shop, it's a better learning environment. It's more personal. You know, I like it.
Now, if you have a problem that you can't figure out, which we all do, that's what makes us grow. I mean, how is your shop with teamwork? And, you know, you got more senior guys coming in that'll, you know, swoop in and help you figure stuff out.
I try to use all my resources before I reach for help. You know, like, I mean, you can, nowadays you can Google, you can YouTube anything.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like, and legit, like, everybody's had that problem that you had sometime in their life, and it's on YouTube.
Yeah. So,
like, you can YouTube anything. So, I mean, literally, you could come in the trade and look like a rock star just by YouTube and everything. You know, look at YouTube videos on everything. And that's what, like, a lot of, like, the young guys coming in the trade, they don't want to put in that extra step. They just want to make the phone call and say, hey, can you do this for me or talk me through this? Like, dude, what research have you done before you called me? You know, a little bit of struggle. I feel like if you struggle through something, you're going to remember it for the rest of your life.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah, that's for sure. So your apprentices, what's the average experiences on your apprenticeship side with your outfit?
They're all young, first and second year apprentices. So, you know, very good trade, not much of a, you know, mechanical background. But, you know, they're willing, a lot of them are willing to learn. I mean, you get some of them that, you know, just they, as soon as things get tough, they're like, oh, I can't do it. You know, well, what if I wasn't here? What are you going to do? Like, are you just going to sit here and look at it? I mean, if we're whatever we're doing, we're, you know, breaking pipe, you know, if you can't do it, okay, go get a cheetah bar and, you know, do it that way.
Oh, this
ways to do things. You just, you got to start thinking outside the box, especially in the trades. I've learned there's nothing straight line distance. You got to everything jumping through hoops to get anything done. The easiest, simplest job can, you know, turn into, you know, a nightmare.
Yeah, no, I definitely know what you're talking about. So what are some of your biggest career successes, Chris, that come to mind, like moments in your pathway over the last, you know, 13 years or more recently that, you know, made you really think, wow, you know, I'm really loving this and, you know, really gave you the juice to keep going and learning more in skill trades?
Well, and what I've learned, like for me is like helping train the younger guys.
Yeah.
And then, you know, seeing those younger guys come up and they're at different companies, they're field supervisors and they're this, and it's like, okay, like, and they'll tell me, you know, and they'll come back and say like, hey dude, like you helped me a lot when I was starting out. A lot of guys won't help, you know, and teach. But I mean, I love, you know, I'll teach a guy, you know, whatever I know. The guys above me didn't want to teach as much, you know, they don't want job, but I feel like, you know, if you can step up and take my job, by means, you know, like I did what I was supposed to do. I taught you, you know, enough where, but I mean, that's kind of where I'm at. I love teaching the younger guys and, you know, seeing like the light bulb click, like, oh, you know, I'm starting to get it now. Like I can do this on my own.
Yeah. You know what? Teaching others, Chris, that's probably one of the most rewarding things. Talk about the ultimate win-win, because, and I'm sure you know this, you know, when you're teaching the younger bucks coming up, you know, you're teaching them stuff. And especially if they're willing to ask you questions, it makes you better. Right. Yeah. And what you explained about, I'm a little older than you, but I think as you go on, if you continue this training attitude, I think you're going to have in your later years, you're going to have even more people coming back and saying, you know what, Chris, you were the right guy at the right time because you took the time to teach me, and I'll never forget that. You know, there'll be a few people along your career path that really contributed, and that's super rewarding. You know, it makes you better, and you get the reward of knowing that you help these people.
Yep. Yeah, for sure.
Yeah. So what are some of the biggest challenges that you've got, that you've been faced with in your skilled trade journey?
I mean, starting out, it was just, learning everything. Because I didn't know what three phase was. I didn't know what single phase was, you know. And my first job was a mom and pop shop. They gave me a van. Said, go do it. The struggle is real. You know, my first ever problem I had, I was on the roof for about 3.5 hours, and it was just off on the smoke, and I couldn't wrap my head around, you know, there was a break in power somewhere, and it was off because it was off by the smoke, you know, that low coach was holding it out. And you just, like, I learned a valuable lesson that day, you know?
Yeah.
It's very important to know how to read a schematic.
Oh, yeah.
You know, it's very, very important. That's what I tell a lot of the apprentices coming up now. It's like, you know, as long as you, like, the electrical is probably one of the biggest parts, you know, in the HVAC industry. If you can, you know electrical and read a schematic, you can get your way through this trade.
Yeah. Yeah, I think I read somewhere, might have been one of the ASHRAE journals, but I think about 60% of all the failures of air conditioning refrigeration equipment are ultimately due to electrical issues.
Yeah.
Yeah, the electrical systems are usually the weak link. The refrigeration systems, I mean, they fail too, but they fail a lot less than the electrical. Right. Yeah.
Right.
That's cool.
Yeah. Even with the refrigeration side, there's so much new stuff coming out. Like, you know, I feel like once a year you're getting, you know, new refrigerant or new, they so-called blends and drop-ins. And there's so much out there, you know. And you got some guys thinking that you can just drop in refrigerant with other refrigerant. And, I mean, these refrigerants have different boiling points. And you drop in another refrigerant with another refrigerant, it's like, oh, you just created a mess. You know?
Yeah. Yeah. So. Hey, guys, I have an exciting announcement. We just recently made some updates to our three most popular online courses at processchilleracademy.com. If you're a technician that's looking to improve your skills a little bit, maybe get some specialized training to be of more value to your customers and your employer, or if you are an employer, a contractor that is looking to augment your existing in-house training with online training that can be accessible from any device, this is a really great opportunity. Just go to processchilleracademy.com, just scroll down on the homepage and you will see the course area. If you go into the course page, you will see that we are currently, for a limited time, we have a promo code of ChillerPro that will save you 25% on any one of these courses. So I hope you check it out, and I'm looking forward to seeing you in class. Yeah, no kidding. So without getting too specific, I don't want to, you know, cause any discomfort for you. Down in California right now, you're probably in one of the highest costs areas to live, right? Whereabouts are you at again? What's major city?
LA.
Okay. Okay. So what's your shop, or what are you hearing apprentices starting out at? So guys and gals that are, you know, just deciding that they want to jump in, starting out from not knowing anything. What are the shops?
I believe like the first year apprentice makes like 27, and then after you like a fourth year apprentice makes like 37.
Okay.
And once you journey out, you're making pretty good money.
As in what?
It's like $53 an hour.
Okay. Does that include all your Benny? Is that your full package, or that's just what's showing up on your paycheck?
No, that includes everything.
The package. Okay. Yeah, that's what I'm. You know, it's really interesting. I've been talking about this a lot. Most of the news media is talking about the Bureau of Labor Statistics, right? And they're talking about, you know, journeyman level HVAC trades, right? I don't know where they get their data, but they're saying that, you know, like, they have it regionalized, but they probably say something in the range of journeyman making, you know, $30 an hour. And I'm like, you show me a shop that's paying $30 an hour in to a journeyman in California, and I got a bridge for sale. There's just no way.
My brother is a service manager at a non-union shop. And they're paying guys right out of the trade like $22 to $25 an hour, and that's non-union.
Right.
You know, and that's right out of school.
Yeah.
And that's kind of where the trade's going, because, you know, it's so hard to keep guys nowadays. You know, find good guys, you just got to take a risk on a lot of these guys that, you know, that are good people. You know, you interview them, they don't know much, but they seem like good people.
Right.
You know. And yeah, that's kind of what you have to take.
Yeah, I used to say that all the time. You give me somebody with a good attitude who wants to learn, I can turn that person into a really good tech.
Right.
But you give me somebody who doesn't really want to learn, it's just a waste of time.
Oh, yeah.
So what are we going to do, Chris? So, you know, when we get a little long in the tooth, what are we going to do to start attracting more young folks into the trades? I mean, what do you think about that? Any ideas?
The biggest thing they need to realize is, like, so, I mean, my wife's she's an RN, you know, she has a lot of money in student debts, and, you know, I'm making more than her as a, you know, in the trades, and, you know, I don't have any student debt. I don't have any student loans. You know, and even you're finding, like, I mean, even women, you know, it's a good thing. You know, I mean, the trades are the way to go. Like, if you're not, my oldest, she just joined the military, and I told her, if you're not going to go to the military, the best way to go is, you know, join a trade, do something with your hands, you know, get out there where you don't have to go in debt, you know, all this money to make big money, because that's kind of how it is. You have to go in debt a lot of money to make big money if you're going to do something like that.
Yeah.
Besides.
Well, if you don't mind me asking, so you went in, you got your technical training in three different principles. So HVAC, plumbing, and electrical. Yeah.
Correct.
Yeah. So what does it cost? Do you remember, like, the numbers, like, if you had to pay for the HVAC trade school, what would it cost out of pocket if you had to pay for it?
So each one, they have, I mean, the trade schools do an amazing job with getting you help. You know what I mean? Like, because you look at it, like, a lot of, like, the tradesmen coming out, like, you know, they're guys that have come from, like, tougher backgrounds and stuff like that. So there's not a lot of money there. So there is a lot of help there with student loans, or even, like, grants and stuff like that. They do a lot to help you. So each one was around, I'd say, like, $35,000 each one. But, like, after grants and stuff like that, I think it was probably around, like, $15,000 each.
Yeah.
Okay. But which really isn't too bad, considering you're going to pay, you know, a lot of money to go to college.
Well, and, you know, one thing I talk about a lot, Chris, is, let's just say HVAC, because that's what we're both familiar with the most. And, you know, you go that track, two things, the big difference is, one is you can work while you're going to school a lot of times, right? That's a big deal, you know, whereas versus college, you can work while you're going to college, but what are you doing, right? You're a barista over at Starbucks, or you're working retail making, you know, minimum wage.
Yeah, you're not working toward your future. You know, you're just kind of working at a job to, you know, get you by.
Yeah.
Whereas, like, what I tell a lot of these apprentices, you know, schooling is great, but that's just your foundation. Learn your theory in school. You know what I mean? What you're going to do on the job, you're probably not. There's kind of a disconnect there from school and what you're really going to do out in the field. Mm-hmm. So your real bread and butter, and what you're really going to learn, is just get your hands in there and do it.
Yeah.
You know, that's where I've learned most of mine, you know, from other guys in the field. You know, a lot of guys have their own tricks of the trade, and you collect things along the way. But in the beginning, just don't be afraid to ask questions, and don't be afraid to get dirty.
Yeah. Yeah. I interviewed a guy a few weeks ago, and he was a military guy, super smart guy. I think he was Marines, if I remember correctly. Anyway, he was telling me that he did a lot of research. I mean, he took a deep dive into going to college out of the military versus going to skilled trades. He selected B because he found out that he liked IT, right? Okay. And he was an IT guy in the Marines, communications or something, whatever. Anyway, and the reason why he decided to go into skilled trades is, a lot of the high tech skills, they're easily outsourced. So, you know, you go to a 4-year college and you get a marketing degree or communications degree, or you get a computer science degree or whatever, and you go out into the market and you're finding out that a lot of those types of services can be outsourced over the internet to other countries, and right. those other countries are, you know, heavily subsidizing even more than we do the education of these people, and they're willing to work for $10 an hour US.
Yeah.
You know, so stuff that you do, you know, you're not outsourcing a compressor change out.
No. Well, you have a lot of like on-site guys that they, you know, the word engineer has become very loose these days. You know, the engineers that, you know, when I first started in the trade, the engineers that I'm dealing with now are not the same.
Right.
You know, like you talked to an engineer earlier when I first started in the trade, you know, they're very intimidating. They know what they're talking about. And along, you know, my journey through this trade, it's gotten, you know, the quality of engineers gotten lower and lower.
Yeah. Yeah, that's really interesting. I've noticed that too, because a lot of the engineering students are pushing out now. They're really heavy in theory, but they're not getting exercised in real problem solving as much.
Right.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah, that's interesting you brought that up.
It's like, yeah, this looks good on paper. The design looks good, but let's go put it in and see, you know what I mean? And really do it. And it's like, okay, this isn't going to work.
Yeah. Hey, how are the benefits working for your shop? I mean, do you guys get medical and dental and all that stuff?
Yeah, we get everything. For me, I don't really like. I have the military with my my retirement,
yeah.
So it's not really like a big thing for me. But other guys, they say it's, you know, it's really good. You know, they like the benefits. Union, you know, the benefits are real. I mean, you're paying for them, you know, so
yeah,
I mean, they're good. Even the dental and all that stuff is really good. And I mean, it comes out anyway. So
mm-hmm.
you know, you might as well use it. Even for me, like I don't use it, but you still got to pay for it.
Yeah. What's the demand like right now for technicians, or is your shop looking to hire?
Always. Yeah. And the thing is, we'll give guys, we'll bring them in, we'll give them the benefit of the doubt, but I mean, at my shop, you can't have, you know, soft skin, you know, you got to have thick skin, because they're going to get rid of you if you're not pulling your weight.
Yeah. Yeah.
You know, and it's a lot. It happens a lot. It happens more times than you would think, because I mean, these guys come in, they want to put the work in, or, you know, they don't, the biggest thing for us is showing up on time.
Mm-hmm.
If you can't be on time, you know, that's a big deal. You got a customer waiting on you. It's, you know, you got a journeyman waiting on you as an apprentice. I mean, I'm always at least a half an hour early every morning to get myself situated, you know, get out of my truck. You know what I mean? Put my boots on, get myself mentally prepared for the day. If you don't, you know, a lot of things can go wrong in this. If you don't.
Yeah. I had a guy tell me the other day, if you're not 10 minutes early, you're late.
You are. even 10 minutes, I feel is too, you know, it's too short of a time. Still rushing around with only 10 minutes.
Yeah. Yeah. You know? That's a good, it has to do with work ethic. You know, you have to have the right attitude. How's your work life balance? So like when when you're done working your shift, you pick your kid up at the school and stuff. I mean,
that's when my day really starts.
Yeah.
I got four kids.
Yeah. Your wife's working. Is she working the crazy hours, or is she working?
So she works, my wife's got it tough. So she works on the other side of LA, at the VA hospital. And, so on the way to work, it's not too bad with traffic, but on the way home, I mean, she works 10-hour days, and she's not home till like sometimes 7:38 at night for an hour and a half.
Yeah. Yeah. That's a tough go. That LA traffic is legendary in a bad way.
That's why I work the time that I do. I don't see much of it.
Yeah. Yeah, for sure. Yeah. So how's your balance though? I mean, like, are you guys, when you turn it off from work, I mean, are you able to immediately jump into your personal life? You know, is it going okay?
It's taken me a long, long time to really like figure out how to, you know, leave work at work and leave home at home.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Because I see it in a lot of guys, you know, they'll bring their home life to work and it affects them at work. Yeah. Or they'll bring their work life home and it affects them at home. You know, so it's gotten a lot better over the past couple of years where I've been able to shut it off. You know, like whatever I'm doing, you know, like whatever, tomorrow's another day, I'll handle it tomorrow. You know, now I'm coming home. It's time to be dad and it's time to spend my time with my kids and my wife and, do that side of it.
That's definitely a discipline. You know, I'm glad you see that. I tell everybody I'm a recovering workaholic.
Yeah.
And you know, that out of all the challenges I've had, it's being able to, you know, shut it off. And, I recently, I was retired for 2 years and then I decided I was going to go back because I had a lot of energy and I, you know, really wanted to contribute and stuff. So I'm actually working now full time in facilities for a big electronics company. And, it's kind of weird because I have no employees. I have no say. I have no, you know, leadership responsibilities or anything. I just show up, do my stuff. And then at the end of my 12-hour shift, I turn it all off and I leave, and it's a huge difference. And it took me, my wife and I were talking about it. It took me, you know, 35 years to get to that, be able to just shut it off and say, I'm done, you know?
Yeah. Yeah. It's definitely, you know, it definitely helps you like, because I mean, I've worked for a few companies and it doesn't matter where you go, you're going to work with people you don't like. You're going to work with people that give you a hard time. You know, sometimes the boss is going to ride you and you're going to get upset. It doesn't matter where you go. It's going to happen.
Yeah.
You know, so just to be able to leave that at work and be like, okay, I'm going to go home and take a deep breath. My biggest thing I found is my ride to work and my ride home are just quiet. You know, no music, nothing playing, just open the window, you know, zone out and take that time to depressed. You know, get ready for, you know, 4 crazy kids that are gonna, you know, wanna jump all over dad or whatever we're doing for that day.
Yeah. What, how old are your kids? Are they young?
My oldest, like I said, she graduated high school early, joined the Coast Guard. My other daughter, she's 13, and then my oldest son, he's 12, and then I have my youngest is 8.
Oh my goodness, you are busy.
Yeah, well, my youngest, he's a rock star. He fights competitively, Muay Thai, Jiu-Jitsu, and over the past year, he's gained already like 6,500 followers on Instagram, and he's won like 19 Jiu-Jitsu fights. He's 3-0 in Muay Thai fights. He's doing really good, and he's doing it like all over. You know, he's been to Hawaii and competed, New Mexico, Vegas, San Diego, all over and competed. So,
how old is he?
He's 8.
8.
He's 8 years old. Yep.
Wow. You know, any kid below 14, 15 that has that's passionate about something, it sounds like you won the lottery with that one.
Oh yeah. Trains literally. I have a whole like training facility for him down in my basement, and he trains about 3 to 4 hours every day.
Wow.
Every day. Like, yeah, we'll go to training, and then from training, a bunch of his friends from the gym will come over, and they'll train for like another 2 hours, 3 hours in my basement.
That's awesome. That's so cool. You're making so many memories, dude.
Oh yeah. You know, the whole Instagram thing, we just started that so we could, you know, we could record his journey, you know what I mean? Like from the beginning, and then it just took off, you know, within 6-7 months, the kid's got 6,500 followers on Instagram, and it's just blowing my mind. I'm like, it's crazy.
Well, listen, we've been on here for about a half hour or so. I want to, let's just put it out there. what parting words would you give the high school or soon to be high school graduate about, you know, consideration of skilled trades? What would be your words of advice for that particular individual or parents of that particular individual about skilled trades?
What I try to tell all my apprentices, no matter what job you're doing, never be too big for the job. Mm. I don't care if you're sweeping. I don't care if they have you taking out the trash. Be the best you can, whatever you're doing. You know, and the trades are kind of like looked at like, oh, that's, you know, that's for like people that like don't have money to go to college or whatever. And don't be too big for it because, you know, you're going to find out real quick, you know, the college life might not be for you. And the trades, is, you know, it's a dying art. It's a really dying art. And it's, you get to meet new people every day. You're not going to the same place every day. It's, I love it. You know, I love working out in the trades, meeting new people, doing new things. They're always coming out with new technology, new stuff. You know, it's not only working with your hands, troubleshooting, you have to use your brain. You know, you have to use your brain.
Yeah. Well said, man. That's awesome. You're an inspiration, Chris.
I appreciate it. Yeah. I'm glad you had me on today. You know,
yeah. So that is it. I hope you enjoyed this episode. I very much look forward to continuing to connect with you. Please don't hesitate to send me messages on LinkedIn. I'm on there all the time. Or you can reach out to me on my email. I'm at mking@processchilleracademy.com. And until next week, when I give you the next installment, I wish you a great week. And I will connect up with you again soon. Take care. Now, bye-bye.